Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Doll World, a show spotlighting the passion and the people of the doll community. With your host, me, Georgette Taylor, former vice president and co-founder of Big Beautiful Dolls, and Tammy Fisher, owner of Curiositeej Dolls and Collectibles. Join us as we talk to and feature fascinating new dolls and doll artists, from avid collectors to repainters, redesigners, bloggers, and all the people in between as they share their journeys, give us glimpses into their processes, and what propels their passion and drive that help to keep the doll world moving and shaking. Here are your hosts, Georgette and Tammy.
Hello, everyone. This is Tammy Fisher within the Doll World. Thank you for joining us for another show. I'm here today with my beautiful, wonderful co-host, Miss Georgette Taylor. And today's special guest is Eliana Hernandez Carafas. And we're super excited to introduce you to Eliana. One of the things that we said we were going to do this year that we were going to really focus on was bringing more diversity to our show and highlighting more diverse artists. And Eliana does art. A lot of her art is based on Indigenous peoples. So we're super excited to have her here and tell us about her doll journey. So thank you, Eliana, for joining us.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, Eliana, we're going to start where we start with most people, or everybody, I guess. Tell us about your doll journey. Where did it begin and how did you end here?
Well, it began, I'm going to say, over 30 years ago. And it started because I saw a Santa doll. It was beautiful and I could not afford it. So I have an art background. I've been an artist my whole life. And I thought, well, I can do that. So I just started sculpting. And, you know, it's like falling down the rabbit hole. So I started with the Santas and just everything just took off from there. And I went to learn to sculpt. I took some classes on sculpting, porcelain doll making. And then most of it I just learned on my own. The costume making, wig making, jewelry making, shoemaking. And so I've tried many, many different things. Yeah, cloth dolls. But mostly now I work with polymer clay.
That's great. Thank you. So you started with Santa dolls. And when I looked through your catalog, when I saw some of the photos, I saw that you had this variety of dolls and some of them are more whimsical. So when did you move into that whimsy and those type of dolls? You want to show us your little pumpkin doll back there?
Yeah.
It was one of the whimsical dolls.
So this is a new one I'm working on.
Okay.
And this was I just did it for fun. Going through a hard time in my life. I have like a lot of health issues. So this was just for fun. And actually this was an accident because I was trying to make a round head and this is the shape I got. This, instead of being round, it was this.
Elongated pumpkin
and
head.
And so I was looking at it and I was like, well, this isn't round. What do I do? And so I made another one and I made another one and it was this shape. And so this is how I got into pumpkin heads. One of my kids said, oh, it's a pumpkin head. Make a doll out of it, Mom. And so I did. I took six to a craft show. I sold every single one.
Wow.
And
that's cool.
Wow.
I could imagine.
So they're fun. I love them. This one has like a glass cabochons for the eyes. She's got glitter eyelashes. I don't know if you can see her glitter eyelashes. and the felted hair.
Cool.
So every year I make about six or eight and I sell them all. So a lot of people love Halloween and they love this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started making these. And because I love Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is also cloth. And I paint all the features and I make all the clothes. These are popular
cool.
too.
Very nice.
I was a Spanish teacher for many years. So I taught Spanish and art. And this doll is called La Llorona, the Weeper. And she's just, so I used to teach the story because it's a legend in Latin America. So then I sculpted the doll, but this is all polymer clay.
Would you mind telling us the story? I know the story, but I don't know if our listeners know her story.
So she, La Llorona, was a what is known as a mestizo, a descendant of indigenous. So her mother was indigenous and her father was a Spaniard. So this is the colonial era in Mexico, in Latin America. And she fell in love with a Spanish captain. And her father said to her, "You could never marry this man because you are mixed race and he's of Spanish nobility." But she didn't listen to her father. She loved him. He took her as a mistress and she had three children with him out of wedlock. So one day he didn't come home and she went out looking for him and discovered that he was celebrating his wedding to a Spanish noble woman. And so in her despair, because he obviously now was married and so he was gonna leave her, she went back home and she drowned her children. And then she drowned herself.
Wow.
And so the legend is that she, in the evenings, she cries, and that's where she gets the name from, the Weeper, looking for her lost children. And again, because her spirit, her ghost, because she also killed herself in a river. So it's kind of a horrifying tale, horrifying tale. There's a lot you can pull from that story, right? And there's just so much there. Children were told that story, you know, don't go out in the woods by yourself. Don't go near the river. Don't go out at night. And particularly, right, stay in your class.
Yeah,
and don't seek to marry outside of your class.
Yeah, so it was a cautionary
outside of your race.
And the way I was told
the
story was she will come and knock on your door. So like, if especially I think it's like when it's really windy, if you hear like knocking, you know, don't go and open the door because you don't want to let her in because she's looking for her children, you know, and something bad is supposed to happen.
I've never heard of that story.
Oh, okay. I guess it's because I, you know, I grew up in Colorado with, you know, a lot of, you know, Mexican, Spanish, so that, so it's like when the wind is blowing and whatever, you don't go open the door for her. I mean, if you open the door, you definitely don't open the screen. Because it's like she said, it's a spirit. Right. You don't want to let her into your house. So if you don't see anybody there, that's who it is.
Wow.
Her children. And the wind is, I think it's, you're hearing her crying. That's what the wind is. That's
right. Her wailing.
Yes, that's her wailing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the story that I was.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting how in cultures we take these stories, just like Grimm's, you know, fairy tales, and how they used to be really grim. But when you look at them, they were cautionary tales. You know, it's like you said, don't go playing near the water. You know, don't go. And in my case, don't go opening. Just don't. Why are you opening the door? You know, so just
right.
These tells to keep the kids safe. So yes, I understand that. So a lot of the other dolls that I saw were. I see you've got the larger doll back there. She's more of a traditional type doll, isn't she?
This one.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
It looks more like a traditional.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
So this is. This is a portrait doll making of my aunt.
Okay.
My aunt Flor de Mayo.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize. I thought she was just a lady. I didn't realize she was your aunt Flor de Mayo. That's a whole story in itself. Too.
Yeah,
it's another
Flor
one.
De Maya.
Do you want to tell us about Flor de Maya?
Yeah. So as my, she's my father's youngest sister, Flor de Mayo, and she's a spiritual healer. In Spanish, it's a curandera, espíritu. Mm-hmm. And so she's been doing that for a very long time, and she used to travel all over the world, doing workshops and healings. And then because of COVID, she couldn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So she called me up one day and she asked me if she got the idea that maybe they could get an artist to make a doll for them, and the doll would go out in place of her to bring comfort to people who couldn't see her. I thought it was a great idea. So I started working on the spirit dolls, because I do make spirit dolls. But then I just started making them so they look more like her. So I've been working on this one for a while, and I just haven't put her together yet. So that's her. And this is polymer clay.
So are you going to have all the spirit dolls that you mentioned before? Are they going to look similar to her? Or are they going to start to have their own characters?
Similar to her, so that they have that in, you know, indigenous look, the white hair. Mm-hmm. And then I just dress them. I dress them so typical with the they're called huipil. A huipil is a like an embroidered like a long blouse, and then a skirt. So that's mm-hmm. what she's going to have on.
Okay.
And then I do other, dolls.
Just a sec. I wanted to talk to you a bit more about your auntie and the doll. So
sure.
With your, I think that Georgette was asking, are all of your spirit dolls of your aunt, or do you have different types of spirit dolls?
I have different types. So okay. I have one type that's the Flor de Mayo, and that's people who are looking for, you know, they specifically want her. They want Flor de Mayo. So they look similar to her. And then I have other kinds that are like this one. This one's Coyote, and I'm still working on him. He's not finished yet. And then this one is just a spirit doll from the forest. And then I don't have a Flor de Mayo spirit doll. The last one that I made, I sold. So I don't have, I make them when I get a request, and then I'll make one and then ship it out. So I don't have one to show you, unfortunately. I just have this one here.
Okay. So I would like to speak a little bit about both sets of those dolls, because we talked a little bit about the Flor de Mayo. What's the significance of spirit dolls? Why did you make them? And the other thing is, talk to us about the materials that you use in those dolls, because there's a lot of
right
like earth type natural
yes
fibers in them.
So this doll, just as an example, all of the spirit dolls that I make, their core. What's inside is cedar, Western red cedar. And the reason for that is there's a lot of Western red cedar. I'm surrounded by it, but also it's very valuable to the indigenous people here in the state of Washington and the Pacific Northwest. It has a lot of medicinal qualities. They used it for everything from making their canoes to they use the bark for making clothes and the baby's cradles. And the cedar tree is very tall, can grow to be over like 200 feet tall here. And they live almost 150 years. And so because of those properties, that's why I use the Western red cedar as the core. And so these are just lichens, branches. These are from the broom, which is another native plant here. And I use all of those elements just to bring, healing. Because my intention for them is to be a part of the home and to bring, you know, their healing, the cedar, the lichens. And I also use dried sage leaves, which, you know, they're mm-hmm. used for purification, the sage leaves. And then mm-hmm. the rest of it, each doll is different because I take pieces like this lace, which people have given me things like this, like lace. This is like a piece of that somebody was knitting, and they gave it to me, pieces of silk. And so I take everything and I put it all together. So I'm reusing, I'm recycling, repurposing these, which otherwise people would throw away. But I think there's like, this is a beautiful piece of lace. Somebody, you know, knit mm-hmm. this, and it's just so beautiful. And then I just take other little charms, like these are beach stones and other little things, and just put it together. So it has like a little ribbon in the back, and it's meant to hang on a wall. So I have people who buy them and they incorporate them into their personal altar in their homes. A lot of people have personal altars, or they just put it somewhere in their home to bring, you know, the healing and the blessings. And I always put a little note with my dolls, and I make my dolls with love because I really love making them. Each one is, you know, different. But when I send them out, I send them out with my love and with my blessings that they bring happiness to whoever buys them.
And I want to ask you just another question. So you're talking about the little, like the pieces of fabric. Are those pieces of fabric that just somebody donated, or are they pieces of fabric like I request a healing doll from you, so I send something from my house for you to add to make the doll? I'm not sure the origin of the fabrics that you, or right. whatever things you put on them.
No, so these are just pieces. Like these are just pieces that people have given me.
Okay.
And because they find out that I make dolls, and they're like, oh, could you use this?
Okay.
And I take everything and I say, yes. I do encourage people though, whenever they commission a doll, if they want to use, you know, like an heirloom, something, a little dress or something. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll use that too.
Okay.
But for the most part, the ones that I make, this is just, things that I have.
Okay. Okay. And then the other one that you had there was a coyote. What's the significance of the coyote? Because I know that in some indigenous people, they have
the
personalities.
Yes, the coyote. Yeah, the wolf, the crow. So these are totem animals, and So I sculpted his head, and then this is like a piece of fur. That I found. I don't even remember where I got this piece of fur from. And then I haven't finished putting him together yet, but he's got the cedar core.
And so what does it mean to be a totem animal?
A totem animal is like your spirit animal. And that is, in some indigenous cultures, but particularly out here in the Pacific Northwest, the tribes have the totem poles. Mm-hmm. And the totem poles are made mm-hmm. Of these animals called totem animals or the spirit animals.
Okay.
So, you know, the wolf is a popular totem animal, the whale, the orca, the thunderbird, the eagle, and the crow. So I like the crow. I'm working on this one. And so I put on her, I painted on her face. Crow.
Mm-hmm.
So when she's done, I want her to be for medicine, the medicine crow.
Okay.
Okay.
So each of the animals has a like
a quality.
Thank you. Okay.
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 Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here, I think the coyote normally is the trickster. I think I hear him as a trickster in some of the indigenous peoples. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. The coyote is known for also his cunning, his intelligence, and problem solving.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you giving us the detail. The other thing, we started with your aunt, and I would have asked if I had known that that was her, the doll, one of those type of dolls, I would have asked you later, but we're here. We're good. So your aunt, you talked a little bit about her, but I don't think that you gave enough information for people to understand the significance of why somebody would want your aunt's doll. So your aunt is very significant. She's one of the 13 grandmothers. And so what does that mean? What is that position to be one of the 13 grandmothers?
What does that represent?
Yeah, what does that represent to people? And why is she significant?
So the 13 grandmothers is made of 13 women, older women from 13 different cultures or tribes from all over the world. And so they came together, and their mission was initially, you know, to bring peace to the world through their teachings and love for Mother Earth, our mother. And so that was their mission. And they've just, they've done a lot of, when they first started out, a lot of workshops to share, you know, the teachings from the indigenous people with regard to our stewardship of the earth and how we have to take care of the earth. And then not only that, but taking care of ourselves, our spiritual selves. And so bringing healing through spiritual awareness. So my aunt teaches through storytelling and also through dreams and dream interpretation. Another important thing that my aunt has done is she founded The Path. It's called The Path, the organization, and where she received a vision that she had to save seeds for the future. So in New Mexico, she has a seed bank, and she's been collecting heirloom seeds, you know, all of the many different, like, for example, corn. There's so many thousands of varieties of corn. And so saving these seeds for the future. So
nice.
So she does a lot of important work, I think. And she has a huge following.
And she, if I remember correctly, she has, there's like a location where people can come and like visit with her, or she holds some type of, I mean, she's got like a place that where people come to interact with her here.
In New Mexico.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm in New Mexico.
But,
I said here.
Right. Yes. But yeah, no, that's okay. It's just that, you know, because of COVID, that's just been such a huge impact on everybody. And but she used to travel a lot too and do workshops all over the world. All over the United States. And so now it's just like we're doing here. I think most of what she does is virtual.
So then when we go back to the doll, the significance of the doll is your aunt, with her healing and her teaching, travels the world. And she is one of those 13 grandmothers. So she's significant in the role of bringing peace and helping to preserve the earth for future generations. So that is why people are requesting these dolls. They are unable to interact with her like they were before. So they asked for these dolls. Now, what I wasn't clear about with the first one was, was it initially one doll? And then like I would ask for the doll and it would come back to her and then it would go to Georgette and it would come back to her. Is that what happened initially?
Yes.
And now you're making multiples of the doll. So someone can contact you and request you to make a doll just for them, not part of the share. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. Exactly. I just want to be clear on that. Okay. Okay.
Yes. Right.
Thank you.
Right. They wanted their own. Yes. They wanted their own Flor de Mayo that they could keep in their home.
Right.
And yeah, so that's what's happened. And then I've had other people, you know, who became aware of the Flor de Mayo doll and the spirit dolls. So, for example, I have a client who requested she wanted a doll of another spiritual healer from Mexico, an indigenous woman named Maria Sabina. And Maria Sabina was a Mazatec Indian from the Oaxaca region of Mexico, which is southern Mexico. And this woman used to heal with psychedelic mushrooms. So she requested that I make a portrait doll of her. And I sent a picture. One of the pictures that I sent is of this like a little tiny grandmother. And I'm making a second one. And so I'm working on the, this is the Huipil. So all of the indigenous women to this day in Mexico and parts of Latin America, they wear some version of this, of the Huipil, with the embroidery and the ribbons and lace. So I made this all by hand. I embroidered it all and I sewed on the ribbons. Mm-hmm. So it's front and back.
Okay.
And I'm putting her together. That's her little face.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. That's a nice face.
So some of our people are viewers and some of them are listeners. So will you please pick up the Weeple again? And because I have some questions so that they can have an understanding of what is on this Weeple.
Yes.
So can you describe, you've got birds. And so what's the significance of the birds and flowers and of the actual things that you have embroidered on there? What are the what's the significance of them?
Well, these are very popular motifs that came to Mexico, of course, through the Spanish conquest. And so this represents a phoenix. And you know, the phoenix, I think, is a very common motif that represents rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And these here are the parrots. They're just, you know, the colorful birds of Mexico. Roses.
Is there a significance
just
to the color?
The Mexicans love.
Because you've got red roses.
Red roses, yeah, red, which signifies, as you know, blood and passion and life, love. And so these are just more phoenixes, just more dahlias, which are a native flower of Mexico. So
do the dahlias have any?
It's one single. No, they're just beautiful flowers in Mexico, and they use them for everything. They adorn their hair, altars with that, and then the ribbon. So all of this is, you know, the indigenous people made it their own, but the roots are from Spain.
So, thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's cool. I love how it's not just like a dress, that there's a story behind it, and the, you know, the individual designs represent different things. So thank you for taking time to explain that to us.
Oh, sure. Okay. You're welcome.
And so what else have you been working on? I asked you that question, and I'll tell you why. I was fascinated by some of the dolls that you shared with us. They would have like organic, like, I don't know if it was like cactus fiber, like grasses or something, like their hair that they had, or they didn't have like traditional hair. And I was just fascinated by those organic, non-traditional uses of plant in your dolls.
Yes. Again, I live in the forest. I live in the Olympic National Forest. And so many of the trees here are covered in lichens, mm-hmm. And mosses. And so I just love using, especially the long lichens.
Okay.
It's called graybeard mm-hmm. lichen.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually medicinal.
Okay.
You can boil it in water and make a tea out of it. And I haven't tried it. Mm-hmm. But I know that there are people that do make tea out of the graybeard lichen. And so I use lichens a lot. So going back to this doll, this is a type of moss. Mm-hmm. And then I've made others with the long, green hair. And that's the graybeard lichen.
Okay.
And again, just another element of a plant that has medicinal qualities to it.
Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of materials that you use are just, like you said, based on the area that you live in, too. So you use a lot of that.
Yes.
So I wanted to know, like Georgia was asking, you have these dolls and you're using things from, you use plant. Do you also use rocks or anything else from your area for the dolls, or is it primarily plants?
It's primarily plants, because when they're dry, they're lightweight, right?
So, okay, that makes sense. Yes,
right. Because I ship everything, okay, all over, it's just better if it's like a light piece of wood, lichen. So I just prefer that. I have made some bases for the Flor de Mayo dolls. So for example, she doesn't have legs. The spirit mm-hmm. dolls don't have legs.
Okay.
So she's going to go in a block of cedar wood.
Okay. So why don't the spirit dolls have legs?
I like them, you know, for that spiritual quality. They're not bound to the earth by their legs. So that's why I don't make them with legs.
Okay. I didn't know if there were some, like a definition of spiritual doll, a spirit doll, and it says, oh, spirit dolls don't have legs, or,
No, that's just, that's just, okay. So for like this doll, she's got legs.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's my other Maria Sabina that I'm working on. So she's she's a full body.
Okay.
I have all her pieces over here.
So now a lot of times me and Tammy ask these questions, especially for people who are making things from their art or making art. And a lot of people look at the show and they think, oh, I'm an artist, but I can't make no money doing this. So I can't, that's not going to sustain me. So, and we usually ask people like, have you found that your art is able to sustain an income for you with what you do? Or is it still something that you do that's, you know, just extra? It's not anything sustainable. That's what I want to know.
I would say for me, no. And the reason for that is that I am pricing my dolls pretty low. I want people to be able to afford a one of a kind doll. I think the most expensive dolls I have are in the $500 range. And even then I have people who can only pay me in installments on a $500 doll. The spirit dolls are under 200. And again, I do that, as I said, on purpose, because I always think back to when I wanted a doll. and I couldn't afford it. I had five little children, yes, and I can't, you know, spend thousands of dollars on a doll. And so that's always been on my mind.
Right.
People like me who can't afford to spend thousands of dollars on a unique piece of art. So I used to make the dolls when I worked, and I wouldn't make very many. Of course, I didn't have the time. I was working full time. I had, mm-hmm, you know, children. As a teacher, I had the summers off, and usually in the summertime, I could devote more time to making more mm-hmm dolls. So now I'm home, I'm retired, but still, I think the mm-hmm the income that I get from the doll making, I put it right back into supplies
back into. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sustaining.
So it sustains your craft, though. That's what it does.
Yes, right.
And that's beautiful, because you are staying true to yourself, yeah, and why you began. You said, I started this journey because mm-hmm I couldn't afford these dolls. So you're making dolls
right
and mm-hmm charging what you believe is a fair, yep, a low price for these dolls based upon what a lot of the mm-hmm one-of-a-kind dolls are going for. So that's beautiful that you're staying true to mm-hmm to yourself and to, yeah, to you.
It's hard. Yeah. Just as an example, this, just to make this took 2 months. This is, wow, 2 months of work.
Wow.
Because this is,
wow,
this is cross stitch.
Okay.
So it's like each mm-hmm little, you know, each little stitch, all of this tiny, tiny little cross stitch front and back.
Yeah.
And that's just this.
That one top.
Yeah, and then the sculpting takes, you know, so to sculpt this head, yes, and paint it, that was another month to, wow, make the bot, you know, the individual, wow, pieces,
mm-hmm,
the little hands.
Mm-hmm.
I love her little hands.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, nice hands.
But they are.
Yeah. This is a chest plate, so because her head is going to be movable.
Okay.
Oh, okay. She's going to have an articulated.
Oh, neck. Nice.
That neck.
That's, yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's very, yeah, nice.
Wow. That's great work. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's going to go, together, huh, like that. Well, I got a lot. Yes, because this, I wanted to make a doll that's poseable, but then within the constraints of this clay. So this clay is polymer clay, mm-hmm, is brittle.
Oh.
You know, right? So with a porcelain doll, there's less breakage. But mm-hmm I find, mm, that with the polymer clay, there's a lot of, a lot can break if when it's articulated.
Okay.
So this has been, mm, yeah, it's been a lot of trial and error. So for example, I'm going to,
wow,
run elastic through here. Mm-hmm. And to attach it to the body.
Yeah, to attach.
So the inside of this, mm-hmm, right? So the inside of this, so it doesn't break with the tension of the cord. I used AV's sculpt, you know, that two-part epoxy.
Okay.
And so I lined, yeah, so I lined the whole chest plate with that so it doesn't break,
mm,
under pressure.
Right, right, okay.
Reinforcement. After I string it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why yeah did you choose that medium? Nice. If it's if it breaks, what's the advantage of that?
Well, again, going back to cost.
Okay.
So two things: cost, right? Because if I were to make her out of porcelain, it's more money, right? Because now I'm firing a kiln. Well, right, a kiln is expensive. Firing a kiln is expensive. The glazes, it's a mm-hmm lot more work.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's no longer a one of a piece, right? Because if you're going to be working in porcelain making dolls, then you're going to have a mold and you're just going to be repeating the same, okay, doll. And
okay,
maybe you, mm-hmm, right? So what doll makers I find is they have a doll, they have a mold, and they may change the hair, the makeup, the clothing, mm-hmm. but it's essentially, it's the same doll, mm-hmm. same mm-hmm. features. And so what I'm making, you know, this is a one of a kind. So she's a portrait doll of a real person. So that's why I like the polymer clay. And mm-hmm. I don't need a kiln. I can just fire her, right? Fire her in a regular oven. And no special glazes or so okay. again, you know, just trying to keep my costs down and but again, providing, you know, a unique work of art at the same time.
Okay. All right. Thank you for explaining yeah. that. Do you still make cloth dolls? Or well, that doll has a cloth body. So are all of your yes. doing mixed media or do you have just cloth dolls?
I have these, and then I have the pumpkin heads. Uh-huh. And then I have mm-hmm. these. So she's cloth.
It's her head.
So she's all
the whole okay. body cloth?
The whole body. And I made the shoes.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So these are 3D printed.
Her little, ankles.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are nice. Shoes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so she's articulated.
I love her nails. And she's articulated. Yeah.
Wow.
And she can sit. So wow. she's all painted. And
that's cool. So she's another one of the.
And she has these. Yes. Dia de los Muertos.
The Muertos?
Yeah.
Okay. That was Muertes.
And the crown.
Muertos. Okay.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. Cool. Yeah. You've got beautiful work there. I love Thank the variety, you. Both in the
yeah
the materials that you use and in the appearance of the dolls. It's so mm-hmm. lovely. Yeah, it's great.
Thank yeah. you for that. Yeah. yeah, sometimes I feel like I get bored easily. So sometimes I feel like maybe I have ADHD or something. Like I'll make four or five of the same thing, and then I'm just like, oh. I don't want to do that anymore. And I get another idea and I'm off doing something else. So
that's cool.
That's what yeah. Thanks. Do. Thank you for
saying. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I got an idea for making, goddesses.
Oh, that's so oh,
okay.
Nice.
And, nice. So I made this head and I've been playing with the different hair and then I thought maybe the head's too so big cool. and, but I want her to be the Mayan goddess, the mother goddess, and her name is Coatlicue. And she has, so she's part animal, part woman. Mm. Okay. You know, the Mayans have very bloody gods and goddesses. So she wears a necklace of human hearts and hands. And she has a skirt of snakes. So I have the head and I've been working on the body because also her feet are eagle's feet. She has wow. the claws of an eagle. So she's been quite wow. a challenge. So
she sounds like
some, that's going to be a statement piece.
I'll have her.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's cool. So I didn't ask you about it. We talked
yeah, that's cool.
one-on-one, we talked about your indigenous background is not only of the American Native peoples, but also the Mayan. So that's your father's
Mayan. Yeah.
Yeah. Your father's people were
my father's family.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
So descendants of the Maya.
Okay. Yeah. That's yes. part of your family tradition. So that's nice that you're making dolls.
Yes.
That represent your people and your culture. Yeah.
Yes.
That's nice. Yeah. I can't wait till she's finished. That's going
to
be amazing.
Yeah. I'd love to see that when you get those goddess dolls done. I'd love to see what
okay.
they look like. That's going to be really cool.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just, I'm excited
it's beautiful.
About her stuff.
And I am too.
I want people to be able to go to your site and see what you're doing. Yeah.
Yes. And that's what I was going to ask next. So where do, you know, our listeners and our viewers, where do they go to find your work and you see pictures and to reach out to you?
So I have a website and it's under Ileana Hernandez Carafas. .squarespace.com.
Okay.
And I have an Etsy page. And on my Etsy page, I mostly have some spirit dolls and the and the pumpkin head dolls.
Okay.
And then people just find me, and I get a lot of commissions. I encourage commissions, and I really love commissions because that's how I got, you know, to do my little Maria, Sabina, and other dolls that I've made for people. I enjoy that because I love learning about people and their stories. And so I really love commissions.
So what's your preferred way for people to reach out to you? What's the best way for someone to contact you?
I guess email. Email is the best way. I check my email pretty regularly. And my email is icarafas@gmail.com.
Okay.
And so a lot of people will send me, or message me. Message me.
Okay.
And I check that usually in the morning. Again in the afternoon, see who's contacted me.
So
I have a daughter who's currently serving in the Navy.
Wow.
So I'm always checking my phone.
Yes. We appreciate her service. We appreciate what she's doing for the country.
Thank you.
And we just want to again thank you so very much for joining us for an interview. This has been very educational. I mean, I just love your dolls, and I love bringing more diversity to our audience. We see so many beautiful dolls. All of the dolls are beautiful, but they tend to be within a certain range. Most of the dolls are like, this is a doll that I could just walk into a store and buy a doll that looks like this one. It may not be this exact doll, but I could buy one that looks like this one. And your dolls are very unique. So I appreciate, I'm sure Georgia does too, we appreciate you joining us and sharing these beautiful dolls and explaining the culture and, you know, the things behind the dolls, the materials that you're using. This has been very educational and enlightening. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
We look forward to hearing from you again and to seeing more work from you.
Thank you, ladies.
Take care and goodbye from In the Doll World. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to In the Doll World. Me and Tammy really hope that you enjoyed the show. Please don't forget to share our podcast with other doll enthusiasts such as yourself. And if you would like to leave a message on how you enjoyed the show, or you want to suggest any guests that we should interview, as well as share information about what's happening in the doll community in your area. Please know that you can reach out to us at georgette.inthedollworld@gmail.com and or tammy.inthedollworld@gmail.com. Also, if you want to see some of the photos we will be posting of our guests, as well as the dolls that they talk about on the show, please visit www.inthedollworld.com. And until next week, add a little play into your life by collecting a doll, sharing a doll, or giving a doll a home. Until next week, thank you again for listening to In the Doll World.